Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're looking at the believer's authority, and in particular we're looking at it from an Old Testament perspective. Now, one of the things that we need to be sure or confident of is the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. At the very end of my last post, I mentioned something about the authority that we have as believers. So I thought I would take a little time to examine this important area of spiritual authority. From the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit has been active. The Holy Spirit was key in creation. He was active in the Old Testament times. The Holy Spirit was active and essential in the early Christian church. And finally, the Holy Spirit continues to be active in the lives of believers today. Now, sometimes when we study the Bible, we think of the many miraculous events that took place in the past. And, you know, we might make the mistake of thinking that it was for that time only. But let me remind you that the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To me, that means that He is the same today as He was in the distant past. We should never discount the miraculous. Our God is a miracle-working God. He does not change. And what has changed are the vessels or the people He uses to fulfill His will. Now let's take a look at authority and power. In the natural, if a person has authority, it means they have a legal right to do something. But it may not mean they have the power to do it. The key to understanding authority is that it means you have a legal right or it is allowable. However, having authority alone is not enough to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. You also need the power to go with that authority. For example, a person may have the right or authority to build a home on their own property, but if they don't have the resources or the finances or the equipment to build a house, they are powerless to build it. I hope you can see that comparison. When King Saul was pursuing the future King David in the book of 1 Samuel, Saul used his authority as king to hunt and destroy David. However, Saul did not have the power to destroy David because the Lord was on David's side. Throughout the ages, God has given authority to men and women to act as His agents or ambassadors to accomplish His will. However, when God gives authority, He also provides power. That's the big difference between spiritual and natural authority. Because with spiritual authority, there comes power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we look at the Old Testament, the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit would fall upon a person for a time for a particular purpose. In other words, the Holy Spirit would come and go. The Spirit of God would fall upon the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Of course, today, as believers in Jesus Christ, we embrace the truth that the Holy Spirit lives in us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's authority is always available to us. Now, here's a key truth. Spiritual authority is available to fulfill the will and the purposes of God. Spiritual authority is not available to us for our own wishes to do what we want. You see, we are the vessels, but the power and the authority are the Lord's. So before we go any further, we need to visit the doctrine of the Trinity, because we'll be talking about God the Father, Jesus Christ, and of course the Holy Spirit. And we believe that we only serve one God, but in three separate persons. Now the way I like to think about it, this is personal, is that God the Father who initiates everything, he thinks of the things to do. And as those thoughts come to him, he speaks the word, and the word of God, of course, is Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus came in the flesh to earth to die for our sins and to give us eternal life. And then there's the Holy Spirit, who is often neglected. The Holy Spirit is the agent of change. He's the one that makes things happen in the supernatural realm. And things have to happen in the supernatural realm before they become manifested in the natural realm that we live in. The Holy Spirit is the power that crosses from the supernatural to the natural and makes things happen, just as I've said a moment ago. The Holy Spirit takes what God the Father says through the Son, Jesus Christ, and makes it happen. What's important to understand is that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the supernatural available to us. He is our connection to the supernatural realm of God. But here's the important thing. He is a person. Let me say that again. He is a person. He's not simply a force or a power or some energy. He is a person. He is God. Just as Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Three persons in one, the Trinity. To reject the Holy Spirit is to reject God. Now, the triune nature of God, three persons in one, is a difficult concept for us as human beings to understand. And that's because we live in a place of time and space. However, God lives outside of time and space. He's the creator of all things, and nothing that was created or will be created exists outside of his will. The Trinity is a truth that the human mind can't fully understand, which is why the Lord has given us, you and me, a measure of faith to believe. You see, faith or trust is not needed if we understand. But faith is needed when we don't fully understand, but yet we still put our faith in God. We may not fully understand the three-in-one concept of God, but we, as born-again believers, believe it. There are at least three characteristics that God has. God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. Now, the word omniscient simply means that God knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He's not like us as human beings. God does not learn. He simply knows. Past, present, and future, it's all the same to him. Secondly, God is omnipresent. That means that God can be everywhere at the same time. And that sounds impossible, but we serve an incredible God. And he hears all of our prayers, our worship, our praise. He knows the motives and the intentions of our hearts. Then the third point is that God is omnipotent. That means that he is all powerful. Nothing or no one can stand against him. The Satan, the greatest enemy of our Lord, is but a flea to God. God does not strain. He doesn't stress. Nothing is too difficult for our Lord. So I mentioned these three points because as you search the scriptures, you'll see that Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit share in all of these attributes. This is why we believe in one God in three persons. In the very, very beginning, in creation, we know from the book of Genesis that God created the heavens and earth. And an important point that it's important not to miss is that in verse 2, it says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. It's clear that the Holy Spirit was present with God the Father. And we know that God spoke the Word and created everything by his Word. Then we see in John chapter 1, we see that the Word became flesh. That's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. Now I say all of this to make the point that Jesus and the Holy Spirit existed with God from the very beginning. Now, in Old Testament times, the Spirit of the Lord would fall upon or rest upon specific individuals, in particular, the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Now, the Lord chose these individuals to work through for the sake of his people, Israel. The Lord would take ordinary people and place his Spirit upon them so that they became extraordinary people. And we can see many wondrous works of God through the lives of many biblical characters. I have listed a list of 14 Old Testament individuals that God used by placing his Spirit upon them. And it says that the Spirit fell upon them. Now, if you want the details in terms of the verses, etc., I'd encourage you to go to my website and to take a look at it if you're listening to this on a podcast. But in any case, the first one that I wanted to talk about was Moses in Exodus 3:12, the burning bush experience where he received from the Lord the commission to be an instrument to set the people of Israel free from Egyptian bondage. He couldn't do it in his natural, but he was anointed to do that. And then a little bit later, we see the 70 elders chosen by Moses to help with the administrations of God's people. Then we come to the book of Judges, and we have Othniel, we have Gideon, we have Jephthah, we have Samson. Each one of them, it says that the Spirit of God would fall upon them, and they did great exploits. Then in King Saul, in Samuel 10:6, he is anointed. He receives a filling of the Holy Spirit. And then King David in 1 Samuel 16:13, same thing. The Spirit of God falls upon him. And then, of course, we can't forget Joshua in Numbers 27:18 and Deuteronomy 34:9. The Spirit of God fell upon him. And then, of course, we have Elijah and Elisha, where the Spirit of God would fall upon them, and they did great miracles. The priest Jehaziel in Chronicles 20:14. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 24:20. And then the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 11:5. I mention each of these simply to point out that they did great exploits. They did incredible things because the Holy Spirit was on them. Now, the examples I've chosen show that the Spirit of God falling upon these individuals. However, there's a particular case of the Spirit of God being removed from an individual because of disobedience. And we see this when the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul in Samuel 16:14. You see, the Lord in the Old Testament gives and the Lord takes away. Now, all of these biblical characters who were filled with the Spirit of God, or we could say were anointed by God, had to act by faith. Faith that the Lord would do what he promised and would work through them to do the mighty works of God. Listen, they may have experienced fear and doubts at times, but when they had to act, they did not waver in unbelief. David, who was anointed to become king, was filled with the Spirit. Yet we see in Psalms so many incidents where David proclaims that he feels lost, he feels deserted. Where is my God? Periods of hopelessness. However, David never quit. He never gave up. And he would always seek the Lord. I'm reminded of the scripture in Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The lesson here is that when we become discouraged or defeated, we turn to God and draw strength from our relationship with him and hold tightly onto the promises of God. You see, God never fails. When we read about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the names of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and Joseph. Then we see the faith of Moses and Joshua and Rahab. And some of the names of the judges, which I mentioned just a little while ago. And then, of course, in the hall of faith is David. But see, it doesn't stop there. Hebrews 11 doesn't stop with simply the well-known names found in the Bible. Hebrews 11 states that there were countless numbers of people who suffered persecution and even death because they believed that the Lord had anointed them to be used to fulfill his purpose. Again, I want to remind you that the Lord uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. All those whom the Lord fills with the Spirit and follow through by faith receive the crown. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's powerful. And that's true for us. As new covenant believers, Jesus has granted us authority and power to represent him. Because of the new covenant or testament, we have better promises made to us than of all the people in the Old Testament. Jesus promised us a helper, which is the Holy Spirit, who comes in power. As new covenant believers, we have authority as a result of the new birth or being born again. And as born again believers, we have spiritual authority, but we have to learn how to release the Holy Spirit power resonant in us. And that'll be the subject of my next episode, the believer's spiritual authority and power as New Testament believers, as New Covenant believers. Let me close with a couple of scriptures from the book of Hebrews that reinforce the truth that we have a better covenant than the Old Testament believers. Hebrews 7:22 says, "By so much more, Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant." Hebrews 8:6, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, since he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So much more, Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant." Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews was written based on the superiority of Christ over the law of Moses. Christ is better than the angels, for they worship him. He is better than Moses, for he created him. He's better than the Hebrew priesthood, for Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. Jesus is better than the law, for he mediates a better covenant. In short, there's more to be gained in Christ than to be lost in Judaism. Pressing on in Christ and his Holy Spirit produces faith, discipline, and a visible love which is seen in good works. We can't do any of this without the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit leading us. And so, Heavenly Father, right now, I just speak just that every believer who is listening or watching this video, Lord, that you would cause them to step up to the authority that you have given them and the power that is resonant in them because of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, just release a fresh new anointing upon the listeners. Lord, as they face the major problems that they're facing right now, as they face the persecution, as they face the hardships, Lord, that you would just cause a release of your Holy Spirit with all authority and all power. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Look forward to seeing you the next time, where we look at the Holy Spirit work in the New Testament.